Okay, spiritual gifts. 12, verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to the other the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Gifts of the Spirit, spiritual gift. Shall I start speaking in tongues without freaking people out? Spiritual gifts. So, Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, and he's looking at this thing of gifts. There's a lot of enthusiasm here. We'll come on to that in chapter 14 in more detail, so we're not going to look at it massively here. But there's an oversharing problem. People are coming, and they're all excited, and everyone wants to share, everyone wants to tell what God is doing, and he's trying to bring a little bit of order. But there are spiritual gifts. I'm not sure where you stand on that. As a church, we're not cessationists. A cessationist is someone who believes that the power ministries or the gifts, they have fallen away. They no longer exist. And this church is not a cessationist church. I said the first time I came, it was a prophecy. We do believe in the power gifts because we've seen healing. Alex's eyes were healed. That was an incredible testimony very recently. God's Spirit is still here. We still believe in the power of God. Now, many of us might come from church backgrounds where the things of the Spirit weren't discussed or taught, or maybe we were even a bit fearful of. And I remember growing up with my upbringing, almost indoctrinated that the normal they don't just exist. But if you see somebody speaking in tongues or doing something like that, actually, it's from the devil. That's literally how strong my upbringing was in the way that I thought. And the first time that I heard someone speaking in tongues, I laughed, I must confess, maybe that's ridicule, that's a dangerous thing. But then I thought, what is this thing, that my indoctrination, what I've been taught in my upbringing, my parenting, my church background, it's kicked in. And one of the first verses that actually helped me in this whole area is here. Nobody can say, Jesus is Lord, except in the Holy Spirit. And of course, the Spirit's not going to say Jesus be accursed, isn't it? Doesn't make sense. And no one can say Jesus is Lord unless it's the Holy Spirit. And the first time I witnessed somebody speaking in tongues, they kept saying, praise Jesus, Jesus is Lord. So even though I had 21 years of solid biblical upbringing, it's the biblical upbringing that helped me in that moment. Because I was able to realize, what I've been taught, the religion of man, what you do more important than why, does not add up to what I'm seeing right now. Because what I've been taught is that these things don't exist anymore. What I've been taught is if you see someone do that, it actually probably is demonic or dangerous, and that's the devil. That's literally how I was brought up and taught. So then when I see someone doing it, and they're praising Jesus, and they're glorifying Jesus, this is the verse that came from my young adult mind. No one can say Jesus is Lord unless the Spirit. No one can say Jesus is accursed if God is involved. So that took that fresh enough. Now that doesn't mean I understood those things instantly, but it allowed me to be open to the things of the Spirit. Now I'm not sure if you're open to the things of the Spirit, and we are going to be coming into chapters that talk a lot about that. And there is an awful lot of nonsense when it comes to the stuff of the Spirit. There's an awful lot of nonsense when it comes to prophecy. And I'm sure you've seen those God TV style things where there's this evangelist who's, you know, if you send him money, he will send you a handkerchief. And, you know, if you do these things, and you hear these horror stories of like the minister at the front that's got an earpiece and the little form, there's someone in here, and the name is, oh, it's coming to me now. And there's a lot of nonsense around this stuff. But I want to encourage you just to step back and think about how you think. Think about how have you been brought up. Are you open to more of God? Are you happy with your relationship with God? Did you want more of God? Would you like more of God's power in through your life? If you don't, it's not a problem. See, if you don't believe in healing, if you don't believe that God can be prophetic, or God can use tongues, or give somebody a word of wisdom, supernatural knowledge for the moment, I need lots of wisdom, and the good news is, James says, if we ask, can we receive? And do you know what, you can be in a work situation, and I call them the toilet prayers, when you've got to go to the toilet, and you say, God, will you just give me some wisdom? God wants to give you wisdom. See, God does not want to be a distant God. God wants not just to have a relationship with you, He wants you to walk in the power. See, Acts 1 verse 8, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. See, He empowers us. He gives us that power, that ability. So again, I don't want to talk massively on this area, but just question, what's your upbringing? What's your understanding? If you could have more words of wisdom in your life, would you be up for it? If you could see more healing in your life, would you be up for it? If speaking in a heavenly language can deepen your relationship with Jesus, and if that is a godly thing, would you like some of that? These are questions for you to think about. One of the things that we're going to be putting on in March is an encounter opportunity where we're going to get round tables, we're going to get people with different experiences around these things, around the things of the gifts and healing and spirit, and we're just going to have a safe place, just like you've had now, just to talk, ask questions, hear testimony, and give people opportunity. Maybe you want to get some prayer to receive some of that stuff. Maybe you've never received that stuff before. For me, my experience changed my life. It opened up my life. Until I was filled with the Spirit, up till that point, I needed to understand God. I had to have God in a box. I remember in university, going to the Christian Union. I remember some of the charismatic types of people. They're saying, if anybody wants more of the Spirit, you'd like some prayer. And because of my upbringing, I'm praying and I'm asking to receive more of God. I'm wanting more of God in my life. It felt like hours. It felt like I was fighting God. I thought I was fighting it. I actually thought I was under spiritual attack. See, because I was being indoctrinated to think that this stuff is bad, and actually from the dead, and literally that's the way I was brought up, that's what I believed in my upbringing. In my heart, I wanted more of God. See, God will always respond. If you want more, God will respond. God can only respond to a hunger. If you don't want more of God, He can't give it to you. If you don't want to know Him better, He's not going to impose Himself on you. It's a relationship. And I remember in the chaplaincy, some of these guys praying, and you know, they were those enthusiastic types that are praying in tongues and all that stuff. And I didn't know about any of these manifestations. And finally I got to a point in my prayer where I said, God, I recognize that you are bigger than my understanding. And I allowed God to be bigger than my understanding. And that's when I got filled with the Spirit. That's when I started speaking in tongues. And had some manifestations even in my body, which as an engineer, if I'd have known about some of those things, I would have said, oh, I'm just doing that because that's what you do. I didn't know about any of that stuff. It was very clear to me that this was from God. But it's not about the sensation. It's not about the show. It's not about what's going on here. The whole heart is for the common good. See, the things of the Spirit are to give us help. To give us encouragement. The Holy Spirit is described as the Parakletos, the one that comes alongside. See, God wants to give us His power to help us to do the things that we do. Does that make sense? It's not about a show. It's not about coming for a spiritual experience. And sadly, people, you can make a religion out of anything. You can be a religious Catholic, you can be a religious Pentecostal, you can come to the conference and say, when is the man at the front going to pick me and say, there's a prophecy for your life? I'm not sure if you've ever been to meetings like that. And we can idolize those things, but miss the point. God wants relationship with us. God wants to give us His power to work through us for the common good, to make a difference. So, yeah, I'm sure many of us have got different stories, and it was a privilege for me to have that experience in university. And And it did mean that my beliefs were kind of opposed to this church that I'd been brought up for 20 years of my life. And that's where I went to Revival Baptist Church and met David Ollerton. What a wonderful guy in my life. The tough love, the truth in love. And that opened my mind. It almost felt like going from black and white to colour. The person you see now is a result of that. Until I was filled with the Spirit, I was a very timid, shy, quiet person. I really was. There's obviously something in my life. God obviously had a call on my life. But it's like something happened and a confidence came because, see, encouragement is what the Holy Spirit wants. He wants to encourage. Give us strength. Who needs strength here? I need strength. Who needs encouragement? Me. If Christianity is a crutch, give me two. I'll have a spare one too. That's okay, because it's for people who realize that they need help. Does that make sense? It's for people who... Church should be for sinners, you know that? Church should be... Because we're all sinners. It should be a place where they're welcome and where they can come and work. We can say, hey, do you know what? There's stuff in your life. It doesn't have to be that way. There's a better way. Let's show you about some principles here that really do work. So yeah, that was a privilege to have that in university. God even gave me the privilege of a cardinal from Rome giving me communion, which is amazing because I was also indoctrinated that the Catholic Church was bad, that they're not real Christians, that if anything, the Pope could be like an antichrist. And isn't it amazing how in this young man, see, I had a hunger for more. I had a hunger for more. See, I had a hunger for more. I had a hunger for truth. And God brings a cardinal all the way from Rome to the University of Glamorgan and part of his tour of the UK to visit the Catholic Christian Union, and he wants to meet the rest. And everyone's painting the thing and getting it all ready because a cardinal is like the Archbishop, isn't it? It's pretty much one in the UK, is there? I would have thought there's not that many in the world. All this fuss and how are we supposed to address this man? His name was Cassidy, Cardinal Cassidy, still alive. I thought he was old when I was young, and he's still around. He must have been in his 70s when I was in university. And we went into Pontypridd, we went to the Italian restaurant, and of course it's such an honour to have a cardinal, it's all paid for. But you can see that fear thing, and everyone's worried about his title and his name. And I go up to him and I just shake his hand, maybe in that arrogance of youth, and I just said, "All right, brother." But I connected with him, and later on there was a time of communion, and of course, a non-Catholic, you can't receive communion, it's a no-go area. So I said to the Anglican chaplain, I said, what do I do? Just go forward, head down, have a blessing. And this guy puts the bread in my mouth, he knows I'm not a Catholic. And it was such a powerful thing for me to realize that some of the stuff that I'd been brought up on to believe as truth was not necessarily true. I realized that people from other denominations can go to heaven too. Isn't that amazing? There's that joke, isn't it? And you can apply it to many denominations. You go to heaven, and you're walking around, and there's this big wall, and they say, "Shh, be quiet. Why do you have to be quiet? The brethren are in there. They think they're the only ones here." You know, you could apply that to many contexts, couldn't you? And that, again, I'm not speaking ill of my heritage. I'm so thankful for my heritage. It's given me an understanding and a love of the word. But some of my upbringing was not right. Some of it, see, sometimes we have to think about how we think. So there's more coming in that area. We're going to have an evening where there's a relaxed place to look at those things. And if you want more, if you want more of those things in your life, or if you want more God in your life, or if you want to find out more, that's going to be on the 15th of March. And like I said, we're going to be looking at this in more detail. It's actually not myself, there's a guest speaker when we get to chapter 14. That's coming up. But it's for the common good. Okay, one body, many members. Verse 12. That's what we were looking at with the children, that fun clip. The importance of teamwork. Who would like to see another funny clip? Right, let's watch another clip. To do with teamwork. One body, many members. Very good. Teamwork. We're all part of the body. And yeah, we can do things somewhere. We can do things that build up. We can build the bride up. Or we can be divisive. We can cause damage. We can seek to hurt, isn't it? And the first example, isn't it? That doesn't end well for them. But the importance of when we actually do rally around, when Brian wasn't well there, wasn't it wonderful to see that we've got doctors in the house? I'm not sure the doctor was pressurized at all. He's thinking, Real medicine I'm doing now. But isn't it wonderful to have people that are equipped and know what they're doing? But equally, just to see people praying and just to be like, just be patient. It's family, isn't it? We are part of a group, isn't it? When one of us hurts, as that silly illustration with the plasters, when one part of the body hurts, we all hurt, isn't it? When one is honored, and you can read it at leisure. It's a very simple image that Paul is painting, isn't it? We are one body, many parts. And there's people within this body that are starting to be critical of each other's gifts. They're thinking, oh, we have too many of this, we have too much of that. But actually, we need one another. We need diversity. Not one person can do it. Did you know that? Not one person can do it all. That's why we, God's in family. That's why you've got a specific gift. That's why God has put you in that place. And it talks about some parts of the body are very visible, and other parts are hidden. The most important parts of our body are hidden, aren't they? Yes? Our brain, we don't see our brain, do we? Our heart, our lungs. Some of these things are so important, but all together they make a body. There's different types of gifts. What is your gift? Do you know what your gift is? Because God hasn't sent us, He didn't send the Son for you to die on the cross for you, to redeem you, for you just to be able to tick a box when your son is applying for a school. We had an application for Ethan, and we had to check his religion. Catholic, Anglican, Methodist, Baptist, or Christian. That was on the list. I hope you don't mind, I tick Christian, even though I work for a Baptist church. Because we're Christians first, right? Amen. Is that right? Yes? But isn't it interesting, if the world sees that, why do they think of us that way? Because that's what we portray. But actually, one of the things I often say, how many churches are there in Cardiff?
One.
See, there are differences. We have different preferences. But guess what? Church is not about me. It's not about what I like. It's not about the type of music I like. That's entertainment. Coming to consume. God has called us to be contributors. God doesn't want you just to come and judge the sermon and say that was good. Great, if it's good, if it's bad, I don't care. Do something with it. God has called you, when you come to church, to be a contributor. That was one of the problems they had here. They had an over-contribution problem. We'll come on to that in chapter 14. Things were getting a little bit out of order. Sometimes we have an under-contribution problem. Each one of you is a minister. Each one of you, I should be able to give you a microphone if you're a church member and be able to share what God is showing you in your life at the moment. Who'll be nervous about that thought? So it's one thing to be nervous because we're at the front. There's another thing to be nervous because we've got nothing to share. But my encouragement is, you are part of the body. We want to see everybody connected. For me, the biggest joy of our time has been seeing people that have maybe been a bit disconnected from church, or new people coming to church and receiving it and becoming a bigger part of that body. Does that make sense? And that's our heart. That's the heart of what is going on here. You've got a key gift to perform. God has given you a gift. That's where the word charisma comes from. Charisma is the Greek, means grace gift. See, so it's not mine, is it? It's a gift. God gives each of us a gift. God gives each of us a gift. And isn't it so important, as we hear our stories, we can encourage one another. A good friend of mine, Amos Wong, he's a doctor. Trying to encourage my son that it doesn't matter if you feel like you're a bit behind on education. It doesn't matter if you're not in the top set. Because I've got some friends who've done some remarkable things. So Amos, brought up in a Buddhist family in Malaysia. Malaysia, if you know anything about Malaysia, if you've been there, it's an Islamic country. That's the predominant religion. And the state is Islamic. But you get the Cape Malay, you get the Chinese Malay, and you get Indian. You get the Indian population too. Amazing place to go. The diversity of food there is incredible. So he's brought up Chinese Malay. Education in Malaysia, there's pretty much 90% of the university places are only for people from the Islamic background. Does that make sense? So it doesn't matter how bright you are, there's no meritocracy there. You're stuck, really, unless you've got a family. So we've got this Amos. He's not a Christian. He goes to the Boys Brigade. Come on, Scouts Boys Brigade. He goes to the Boys Brigade. He becomes a Christian there. He was an average student. He would describe himself. I said I was an average student. But he felt convicted that to glorify God, he should work hard. So he works hard. And 16, then he starts to do A-levels in English. Couldn't even speak English at 16. Yeah, so I'm trying, you know, it's what an inspiring story. So what his background in a country where he's got no chance of going to university, can't speak English, he started to do international A-levels, and he's got to go to India to do his medical training, because that is an option. It's only because of mum and dad finding the money to do it, becomes a doctor. And for me, one of the greatest gifts about Amos is not just inspiration, but his heart is to glorify God in what he does. He's a registrar at the Heath. He could be a consultant. He's made a lifestyle choice not to be a consultant because he's got a young family. I think that's wonderful that he realizes that he doesn't want to move or be on the road all the time. Again, we all make our different choices, but his heart in what he does is to glorify God, and he loves what he does. He would do his job for free. As long as you give him board and lodge, he would do it for free because he is walking in his gift. Are you walking in your gift? Am I walking in my gift? And your gift is important. God has given you a gift. You might think that you haven't got a gift because sometimes we compare to other people's gifts. The good news is, I don't need to be a brilliant teacher. I need to be me. Does that make sense? I remember with David Ollerton, he asked us as part of the discipleship course, tell us what your gift is. And I told him that my gift was the gift of encouragement. Typical David Ollerton, he says, that's not a real gift. but it is. In Romans 5 verse 8, it's a real gift, but it was good. Whether he does it on purpose or to cause us to rest, but it's good to wrestle and to think. But God has given us a gift. See, nobody can be better at being you than you. So why do I spend so much of my time trying to be someone else, isn't it? And I just long to see each of us connect a little bit with that gift, making sure that it does have expression in smaller groups, where you can add value, where you can bring encouragement, bring your flavor, so that the body is healthy, the church is healthy. I want to see each of us, when we get up in the morning, to realize that we're missionaries. Maybe in overalls, maybe in a dentist's, whatever dentists wear, but God has called us to be people that make a difference. You are valuable. God wants you to belong somewhere, but God also has a purpose for you. I'm just going to ask Jonathan and the team to come up. And let's just close in prayer. Thank you, Father God, for this morning. Thank you that you are the head of the church. Thank you that you've called us to be part of a family. Thank you that each of us, you've given us gifts, Father God, and we need one another. And I do really do pray for the gifts in this room, that if they're not being utilized, if they're not energized right now, Father God, would you just bring them out, Father God? Because we need those gifts. We want the body to be healthy. We don't want it just to be all on a few people, Father God. We want to be able to operate as a healthy body with each part represented well. So would you just bless this body? Would you just bless this church? We just pray for unity. We pray for clarity. We pray for depth of relationship. We thank you that your hand is on us. In Jesus' name. Amen.